yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw yeah!
Aw yeah! What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all over the planet Earth? I'm Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening and watching podcasts is a fun, natural, and effective way to learn English. Oh, sorry, fun, natural, or...
healthy.
Or even...
sterile.
Way to learn English. So download this podcast right now and listen to us while you're walking the dog, stuck in traffic...
waiting for your doctor's appointment. Sorry.
No, you're right. Or?
Waiting to go under the knife.
Or even getting a colonoscopy. I'm joined here in the studio with, well, the virtual studio. First time, virtually, we're joining the whole team. The awesome threesome. Myself. With Justin Murray. What's up, Justin?
Oh yeah, great to be back with you guys here. I got my new microphone.
Yeah, first time you're doing the live broadcast, oh not live, but the YouTube video podcast.
I think it is, yeah. Right? I mean, I've done it before, but first time I've done it with you guys, the three of us.
Yeah, first time. Cool. And where are you speaking from, Justin, just in case people... haven't realized where you are yet?
I'm at my parents' house in north of Seattle, Washington, in the United States. In the northwest part of the United States.
And the same place where Donald Trump lives?
No. Actually, this is a common confusion. Washington State is on the west coast, above California. Washington, D.C. is on the east coast. That's the capital. But, yeah, so I'm hanging out at my parents' house, and... happy to be recording a podcast with you guys.
Nice. And also...
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, Mr. V, Ethan, what's going on? Are you in Chiang Fly today?
I'm in Chiang Rai. Close, though.
Okay. What's going down in Chiang Rai?
Oh, not much. Just days are getting warmer, longer, coming into summer.
Yeah. Have you been... have you been learning any Thai?
Not really. I'm terrible at Thai. I've learned the numbers a little bit just so I can not get ripped off at the local market when I go get my veggies.
Ripped off? And, what does ripped off mean?
Get ripped off. It means to get a bad price, basically. And that happens a lot when you're a tourist, especially in a country where... I think being white here, it's very plain to see that you are not from here. So I'm never sure if I'm paying a fair price or paying more, but it's okay.
So I have a theory about the actual term rip off. So you guys can tell me if I'm tripping out on this or not. But what does rip off mean as a noun? That's a rip off.
Means something's like more expensive than it should be.
Yeah, and so. Basically, a rip-off could be like a rip-off pair of shoes, for example. What's that?
It's a fake brand. It's when somebody makes a pair of Nikes, maybe in a sweatshop.
Uh-huh. Sweatshop?
A sweatshop is a very bad thing when they get generally underage young people to work in a very small room producing, clothes and shoes and things like that.
So my theory about it is like...
they don't get paid money, or they get paid very little money.
So my theory about rip-offs, rip-off shoes, is that you can rip off the fake logo, the fake label, right? And that actually shows that there's nothing there. For example, the Nike. Somebody buys like a pair of rip-off Nikes, and they rip off the label, and there's nothing there.
I don't know if that's is that your theory, or you've read that somewhere.
It's just a theory. I have no idea if it's true, but.
Oh, okay. Cool. Could be true.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that would be funny how the phrase, because using rip off as a verb to rip someone off, are you saying that if your theory is correct, that verb is derived from that expression?
I think it is. That's my intuition, because it seems like that came first.
I mean, it makes sense, because like a rip-off, you could get ripped off with a rip-off. Like, you're thinking that you're paying for the real thing, but you're actually just getting something that is cheap and low quality and paying a premium price for it.
Okay. Talking about cheap and low quality, should we get into our podcast today?
We're not going to rip you off today.
So what I was actually going to mention, Mr. V, the fact that you are living in Chiang Pai right now.
Chiang Rai.
There's
also a place called Pai, which is, it's not Chiang Pai, it's just Pai, which I'm probably going to go next month, which is like a little hippie village in the mountains.
Do you think they sell things called a Chiang Pai?
Chiang Pai. It's PAI, so I'm guessing not, but there are a lot of good cafes here with really good pie. Had like an amazing lemon cheesecake the other day. It kind of blew my mind.
Oh, to blow your mind? What do you mean by something blows your mind?
It means it surprises you a lot. And not to go off on a tangent here, but we love to do this on this podcast. I've been really blown away by just like the quality of cafes here, because it's kind of like there's some expats living here, some foreigners and stuff, but there's just some really amazing, beautiful cafes here. So I actually need to get out of the house more and go work from some cafes, because they're much nicer than anything we even have in the United States.
How's the internet?
And they make very good pie.
How's the Wi-Fi?
And the internet's good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Internet's better than like what my parents have in the U.S. So any of you that are looking to come and work on your computer, Thailand is definitely a good place.
So let me paint a picture for you, Mr. V. Let's say that you are you're there in Thailand. You haven't learned the language at all. I know that you ride a moped, a small motorcycle there. What happens, God forbid, if one day you are doing some outdoor adventure riding on your little moped and you happen to fall off it, maybe whack your knee on the ground or something, maybe even break your leg, and you have to go to the doctor? What are you going to do, man?
I'm going to go to an English-speaking doctor.
Do they have them there?
They do, yeah. My friend went the other day, in fact, so I know that they have them here, but heaven forbid that happen to me.
Heaven forbid?
It's not something I'll have to...
Heaven forbid? What does that
heaven
mean?
Heaven forbid. It means that it's like basically a way to say that you hope that something bad doesn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I said God forbid earlier. Like, God forbid... It's a God common forbid. Expression to say, God forbid you fall off your motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God forbid you fail your English exam because you didn't listen to enough real life radio.
Let's be realistic here, because you probably wouldn't go to the doctor. The doctor is more like you schedule an appointment, right? A doctor's appointment.
Go to the emergency room.
Emergency room.
Probably.
Yeah, because that would definitely be an emergency.
That would,
I'm pretty tough. I'd schedule an appointment for next week.
Because you also had a similar problem here, not here, but in Brazil, you actually had to go to a doctor there, right? A specialist.
Yeah, which that's definitely Portuguese is more manageable than Thai, because I spoke Spanish before and it's a lot closer to English, as well than something like Thai. But I was actually fortunate too there. The doctor spoke like really good English.
That's lucky.
When I sprained my ankle, and I wasn't sure if I sprained it or broke it.
What is?
So they did some X-rays.
So you twisted your ankle, and it sprained, right?
Yeah, I was trying to do some rock climbing, and I fell, and I twisted it pretty badly. And then I actually had to hike out on a sprained ankle, so I think that exacerbated the injury, and so I think it made it seem much worse than it actually was.
Exacerbate?
Exacerbated. It, like, worsened it. It increased it, the level. And so by the time I got to the doctor, it was really had really swollen up.
Swollen?
It was bright red. Swollen is to increase in size, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like that happens a lot when you get an injury. You swell around the injury. So it's to swell, swollen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry. Swollen. Okay.
It swelled up.
I was still thinking about the word forbid. What's forbid in the past? Is it forbode?
Isn't that like in the future?
I don't know, because it's definitely forbidden.
No, he forbid me.
Forbide?
He forbid me. Forbid. I think.
Your father forbid you from... Yeah.
But native speakers make mistakes in the past all the time. Don't worry.
Or the participle.
Oh, yeah.
That's always forbidden, definitely.
Forbidden. Yeah. It's forbidden.
One I always make a mistake on is like, you know, I've drinking 3 glasses of water, but it's not actually drinking, is it?
Or lie laid.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Or lie.
Yeah.
Had laid. Something like that.
So going back to the topic at hand.
Yes. Topic at hand, Justin? If something is at hand?
At hand means in front of us, right? What we're dealing with right now. So
yeah.
Ethan sprained his ankle. It was swollen up. And he went to the doctor.
I had to get some x-rays from the nurse.
And then this hero doctor who spoke English. He came out, and this doctor must have felt so great using his English that he worked so hard to develop. Probably listening to a podcast. He probably didn't even realize who you were.
It was actually an orthopedic. So I don't know if he's a surgeon but we went there because they have less of a line because the public hospitals in Brazil usually have long lines. But first I talked to the nurse. She took an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Then I talked to the doctor who just bandaged it up. He bandaged up the injury with a walking cast.
A cast. Okay. A walking cast.
Before we get into too much vocabulary and learn more about Ethan's story, let's quickly explain to them the moral of this story. And for the reason we're telling you this is we're lucky because a lot of doctors in other countries speak English. You know, in Thailand, in Brazil, in South America. But unfortunately, for a lot of people that aren't English speakers, it's very uncommon to have a, you know, Spanish-speaking doctor or Chinese-speaking doctor or whatever. Maybe not Chinese, because I know here in Australia there are a lot of Chinese...
Or Thai-speaking doctor, maybe, right?
Yeah. It's kind of slim pickings to be able to choose what language your doctor speaks in an English
slim pickings
spoken country. Yes, slim pickings means it's very scarce. It's rare. It's hard to find something that is very slim pickings.
I think sometimes, like I know the American government provides like translators sometimes.
I think also like in the U.S. it's pretty common to find Spanish speaking doctor. But there's other languages you might be kind of up shit creek without a paddle.
Up shit creek? Up shit creek. What does that mean?
It means that you're up shit creek without a paddle. Means you're just in a bad situation with no remedy.
So Ethan just took a very innocent expression, up the creek with no paddle, and changed it to... what's a paddle, by the way?
A paddle is... So if you'd be like in a canoe or a kayak if you don't have a paddle. A paddle is what you row with, what you... used to move yourself around.
With the water, right?
With water, yeah.
Okay.
I've never heard someone say up the creek without a paddle, though. I've always heard up shit creek.
Okay. Well, hopefully a doctor never says that to you, but...
Yeah, so the moral of this story is that you have to feel very confident and very confident in your communication with a doctor because you don't want to tell the doctor something and he or she not really understand the problem well enough, maybe misdiagnose you, give you the wrong kind of medicine or the wrong prescription, and you end up sicker than you were before, or maybe you just don't get better, whatever the negative consequence of that could be, is what we're going to try to fill your English vocabulary up with today, so that never happens to you, and you can be as fighting fit as Mr. V himself in Thailand.
There are a couple situations in life where like it's you don't experience them enough to really get the repeated practice you need to be fluent, right? Like hopefully you don't go to the hospital too much, right? So it's like, oh, I just need more practice to go to the hospital, and then I'll be fluent, right? But
yeah. Just listen to this podcast while you're in an ambulance on the way to the hospital, so when you arrive there, you'll be able to tell the doctor exactly what's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just run through, for example. Okay, so Mr. V...
I think we should start with some of the vocabulary we already said, because I think in my story I said some we didn't explain, and you were just saying some.
Okay, let's do it.
So you said diagnose. The doctor might misdiagnose you.
Yeah, so to diagnose would be to look at your symptoms, which is the things that are affecting you, what's bad about you. So he will look at your symptoms and diagnose is kind of to tell you what's wrong, to say that is the problem. He had diagnosed me with, some kind of a sickness, a flu.
Chickenpox.
Dengue.
What a chickenpox.
Chickenpox, it's like, usually kids get them, but adults can get them, and it's much worse for adults. I guess you can only get it once in your life, though, which is good. But it's like you get little itchy bumps all over you that you can't itch because they'll scar.
So itch.
It's a virus, I think, right?
Yeah, itches. Well, this is a video, so you could be like, itch.
Mm-hmm.
But and that you might also get some of that sound. That's the scratch. But the itch is like what you're scratching.
Yeah, the itch is the sensation.
Or if a mosquito bites you, you get an itchy bump. So, and what might a doctor ask you when he's for, or a nurse? It might be actually more the nurse who's asking you about to try to figure out what's wrong with you.
They'd probably just ask about how you feel. You know, that if you're feeling some kind of a pain, they'd ask you to describe that pain, which. There are many ways, you know, maybe it is a sharp pain, it could be an ache, it could be
So an ache is sort of like something that throbs, right? Like a headache, right?
Mm-hmm.
A toothache, a stomach ache, it has a pulse to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or it's maybe not such a sharp pain, but it's kind of chronic, like it's you feel it all the time, but maybe it's not like excruciating.
Uh-huh. And they might say like, does it hurt?
Excruciating is like really painful. Like if you get a back injury, for example, usually it causes excruciating pain. It's not just like an ache. An ache is usually more in the muscle or something, and it's something that's like you can live with it. It's kind of like aching, but it's not something that you're like, oh my god, I have to get rid of this pain.
So you might ask the doctor at that point for a painkiller.
Some morphine.
But don't
give me an IV.
Don't use that too much, because here in the U.S. a lot of people are addicted to that, like oxycodone or something.
Yeah. So what's an IV if they give you an IV at the hospital?
That is the drip, when they put the drip into your arm to keep you hydrated,
or to keep you like on a dose of a painkiller, for example.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They can put morphine into that thing too.
It's like intravenous, so it's like means that it's within the vein.
Mm-hmm. Yes, intravenous.
Yeah. So they might also ask you like, so a nurse or a doctor might ask you like, where does it hurt? If it's like an injury, or if you're having symptoms, maybe from something you ate or something else, and maybe an allergy, they might ask you like, what symptoms are you having, or do you have, or have you had?
Yeah, and what another thing, you just said a few different grammatical ways of saying that. You say, what symptoms do you have, did you have, or have you had?
People might say, what symptoms are you experiencing?
Or are you having right now?
What was that, Justin?
What symptoms are you experiencing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing you can say just related to that grammar topic is we can often use like the present perfect continuous, and that would be... I have been, like, you know, I have been coughing a lot. I have been I have been feeling a sharp pain in my chest. I have.
So what's
been,
a what's a cough?
Cough is to like coughing to clear your lungs or whatever.
Or if you have like an itch in your throat,
it's called a sore throat, right? That's a, the beginning sore throat, beginning symptoms of it, right?
It's usually a cough, a or you might be. You might be kind of phlegmy or mucousy.
A stuffed nose, right?
Yeah. If you get, like, sometimes you get, like, a chest cold and you have, like, mucus in your chest even. Because that causes, like, a lot of coughing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you said phlegmy and mucus, I think, is similar in other languages like that.
Yeah.
That but liquid that...
The gunk in your nose.
Yeah. Yeah, phlegm. You might want to go... And people, like, spit that out.
Yeah, in Singapore though, don't do that in Singapore. They'll arrest you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's illegal.
So, what do you guys think about? So we have you can have a cold, right? You can have a cough. You can have the flu. You are sick, right? You have a temperature.
Mm-hmm. You have a cold.
You have the flu, right? I've heard a lot of people in other cultures, common mistake. They say they have a flu. Somebody has a cold because, like, for example, in Portuguese, they say, like, the word is gripe, right, for the flu. But people use it when they have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they translate that English, and they'll be coughing or something or sneezing, and they'll say, "Oh, I have the flu." When really the flu, what's the flu in English?
It's usually you have, like, either stomach flu or just, like, it can cause a fever.
It's really bad, right? It's much more like your body aches and you have a fever.
Usually you can't really leave bed for a couple days. You're kind of bedridden.
Yeah.
Oh, bedridden? Maybe explain bedridden and fever, because fever is... Yeah.
Fever is when you have a high temperature, higher than normal. And a lot of times, too, you get some other good vocabulary around that is, like, you'll get cold sweats. Or you'll be, like, cold sweats is, like, you're feeling cold, but you're, like, still sweating. And, like, when you have a fever, a lot of times you'll be hot, and then you're cold, and it's, like, you'll pull the blankets over you, and then you're pushing them off because you're too hot. So there's that. And then bedridden.
Cold sweats.
Bedridden is when you can't leave your bed, basically, because you're too sick.
Yeah, ridden means, like, you're stuck to that area, right?
Yeah. It's not really, I mean, it's kind of a collocation, right? We don't really use that in other, many other situations.
Yeah, I think I've only really heard it with bedridden, at least commonly.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like archaic, I think, if you used it in anything else.
Yeah. What's archaic?
Some archaic, like really old, old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Ye old English.
Mm. Okay, so we
so
have...
maybe, I was just going to say to, like, kind of bring it back to, because we still didn't cover some vocabulary I had used in my story, and I thought maybe we could do that, and then it might be interesting for you guys to tell, like, a story about going to the hospital, and you could use some of the other vocabulary we have here.
Sure.
So
you want to finish up your story?
Yeah. Well, I think I pretty much finished it, but I had said that, like, the doctor who spoke English, he gave me a walking cast. So, like, what's a cast?
I would pronounce it a cast.
A cast.
But, yeah.
Cast.
But it is just a piece of plaster that is put around your broken bone, whether it be your arm, your legs, is the most common places. And it's just to protect it from, so your doesn't bend. You know, sometimes a wrist, if your wrist is broken, you don't want to move it, the cast is just to keep it sturdy. Keep it still. Sturdy means still, so it doesn't move.
Yeah, so like...
And, like, what's the difference between a cast and a bandage?
A bandage is softer, right? A bandage is something that generally you can wrap on, right? You put on manually.
And a lot of times it's just to, like, stop bleeding, right? Like, if you get a cut or... wound.
Yeah, you might, like, dress your wound, right? You dress your wound. This is, like, to put, like, a bandage on there with Yeah. You might use the bandage to wrap around and keep the Band-Aid in place, right?
Band-Aid.
Yeah, there's also a... you could say bandage it up. It'd be like a phrasal verb you could use. The doctor might bandage up your wound. Mm-hmm. What is a wound?
A wound is your... it's your injury, right? It's the part of you
hurt. It's a deep cut, though, right? It usually involves, your skin being open.
Yes, yeah, generally... Even your muscle. Yeah, you're right. It's generally, an open injury where maybe, you might hear this commonly with, a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm. Wound. Yeah, hopefully not too commonly.
I think maybe that's, the origin of it, but I still think you can use, wounded for... I think it's just being hurt.
That's true. You'd say an open wound would be something where it's actually penetrating your skin.
Yeah.
Interesting expression. You might say
Go
ahead.
Go on. You're right.
I was just going to say, lick your wounds. Have you guys heard that expression before?
Yeah.
It's after a difficult experience. You know, it's kind of the metaphor of an animal. You know what I mean? It's maybe a dog that gets in a fight. Afterwards, he licks his wounds. Right?
Yeah. Which is say that saliva is a powerful disinfectant, so there's actually a purpose for that. So if you cut yourself and you don't have any Band-Aids, you can actually just suck on it or lick it or whatever.
Just spit in it. Just make sure you don't have any phlegm that comes out.
So, and I also had said I had to get an X-ray. So what would you call what is an X-ray and what other similar things do we have?
An X-ray is a photograph that just gets your bones, so you can actually see if you have a broken bone. You can see where it's broken and how severe the break may be. And similar things maybe would be a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. Is where they scan your head, your brain, so you can see if you have any kind of brain damage or trauma on your brain. A neurologist would be the doctor that would do that kind of a scan.
Or maybe a concussion, if you got a concussion because you hit your head on something.
Yeah. What is a concussion?
Isn't it basically some sort of bruise or something on your brain caused by head trauma?
It's not a bruise.
Yeah.
It's your skull shakes up your brain, right? Because I guess your brain is very soft, and it has space in there between the brain and the skull. And so if you fall really fast or hit something with your head, your brain kind of smashes up against the side, and that causes a big feeling of disorientation and maybe some damage.
Mm-hmm. And when we say really trauma,
trauma.
Yeah, because trauma can be, in this case, when you say brain trauma, it's a little bit different from he's going through a lot of trauma right now.
Physical and emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Physical trauma is a large strike of pain, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Or damage to your body. And emotional trauma is maybe if you end a relationship, if you break up or something, you could have a lot of emotional trauma.
You might be traumatized.
Sorry?
You might be traumatized.
You might be traumatized. Yeah.
And one last one would be what's the radioactive one? The MRI?
The MRI, yeah. I was going to say that.
It's the one where they put something into your blood, I think, or something.
Magnetic resonance, something.
Yeah,
and that's getting your muscles, right?
All your muscles and your ligaments and all these kind of maybe. I think X-ray gets ligaments. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
All your nerve. It gets all your nerves. It gets all your nerves.
Yeah. So. That was the gist of my story. The ending to it is I was worried how much it could possibly cost when it finished, and then they just I went up to the counter or whatever, and they're asked to see my passport, my visa, and they're okay, you're good, and gave me my prescription. I didn't have to pay anything, which is shocking, because in the United States, you get a very large bill, especially if you don't have insurance.
Yeah, I don't know how you pulled that off, because even in Brazil, generally, it's very expensive, especially to go and see a specialist like that.
But it was a public doctor, it just was a public specialist. So it still was, because I was like legally living there, it was free.
That was
just like, I got a prescription for some painkillers
that was a much
that
better
have to pay for.
Experience with public health than my experience. I had an experience last year, just I had an issue on my elbow with like something that was wrong, and it was, it was horrible. I would have had to wait like 4 months to see a specialist to actually get it taken care of. It was just a bad experience.
Do you want to elaborate? Is there any vocabulary you can drop on us?
On this one? No, I don't know if that's the best.
No. Maybe you could tell a dentist story, because I know you've been to the dentist a lot.
Well, I don't know if this is a podcast about dental vocabulary.
Is dentist it? Is a type of doctor.
Is it?
Ooh.
I'll tell you.
There's no dentist listening to the podcast.
Anti-dentites. For anyone that watches Seinfeld, I don't know what that means. Anti-Semitic, anti-dentist. Well, why don't we just run through, like, just really quickly, maybe some more like symptoms, because maybe, for example, like we mentioned, the difference between like an ache and a pain. You mentioned to sprain your ankle earlier. What's sprain in comparison to like to break?
I think it's basically like you traumatize the tendons or the joints, so it's like not actually in the bone, but it does prevent you from walking. But it's a lot faster to heal. Like maybe depending on how bad it is, I think mine took maybe 2 or 3 weeks before I was completely healed. But if it's not a bad sprain, it might only take a few days or a week.
Yeah, so it's generally a sprain is, I think generally you'd sprain either your ankles or your wrists.
Yeah, it tends to be like where the, or your elbow, you can have like a sprained elbow. It's basically anywhere where like bones come together.
Yeah, yep.
You can just
sprain your neck and then you get to use
your maybe your shoulder joint, right?
You can dislocate, yeah. That's another good one. When I was really, that happened to me when I was really little. I don't really even remember it, but had to go to the emergency room for that one too.
And did they have to put it back in place, like, you know, really jolt your arms so it would go back into its position?
I don't remember. Honestly, I was probably like 4 or 5 maybe when this happened.
Oh,
and I think it was kind of like a traumatic experience, so I probably also kind of like blocked it out, but I just remember like it happening and then I think waking up in the hospital. So I think I probably was out of it when they relocated it.
Mm-hmm. What about people might also, I actually saw this recently on a Brazilian, there's a Facebook group here for Brazilians that live in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And someone posted on there like a picture of their, I think it was like their foot or their leg or something like that. I couldn't tell from the photo, but it was they think they had this huge rash all over their leg, I think it was, and they said, "Hey, has anybody ever seen this before?" What's a rash?
Rash is basically, it's something that happens to your skin where generally it'll turn like red, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get some like pus bubbles on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's generally kind of, it could be painful. It could be itchy, like you mentioned before. It can be like an itchy thing. And the guy wasn't sure if it was like maybe some kind of allergic reaction. Maybe we say like hay fever. What's hay fever?
Not exactly sure. I've never had hay fever.
Oh. Hay fever is just when you start like sneezing and coughing, you might get like allergies, a rash on your skin or something like that from being allergic to like cat, you know, if you're allergic to like cat fur, stuff like that. But he was worried it could be a, and I think it was a spider bite.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds like you need in Australia, it sounds like you need to go to the emergency room for that possibly.
Yeah, I think it's just an injection, and it's just a little something to.
What do they call that? So you
attack the venom.
You have like the poison, and what do you call the opposite agent to the poison? What's that called again?
It's
a serum.
An antidote?
No.
I can't remember.
So it inoculates you against it. Like there's the inoculation, right? It's like a vaccine, right? vaccine, yeah. You go and get your flu shot, right? Or
yeah.
whatever
you... You might get also, like, a vaccination before... Like, I got some vaccinations before coming here. Mm-hmm. You might get mm-hmm. vaccinations before you travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yellow fever.
The doctor...
Brazil, that's a big one.
The doctor might ask you if you had... If you've had, like, if you go to some place, they might ask you if you got your vaccination for some disease that might be common there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a doctor will also ask you if you... maybe something common that he'll say... Even in, when you're in like the waiting room, when you're filling out all the forms,
the waiting room. Okay.
What's the waiting room?
The waiting room is the room where you wait while you're filling out paperwork, waiting to see the doctor.
Yeah. So they generally ask you if you have any like maybe like a history of illness or something in your family, if you're currently on any kind of antibiotics or if you take any kinds of medicine. That's very important stuff to state if you're going to go to a doctor or an emergency room mm-hmm. in an English-spoken country. I forgot why I was saying this now.
Just one thing, well, we have that moment. I just wanted to say a lot of people think the doctor will attend you. Because in other languages, this is a cognate. But the doctor will actually see you. Attend really isn't the correct word that we'd use right now. Attend would be like you attend a meeting, right?
Or like an attendant in a store.
Yeah. But, so the doctor would actually see you. So the doctor sees, you know, maybe 15 patients a day, for example. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the assistant or the nurse will come out and say, "Hey, Justin, the doctor will see you now.
Come with me."
Yeah.
Follow me. And then you get to go in the little room and wait longer.
Yeah, exactly. I think the point I was trying to make is just, yeah, be prepared to know all the... If you're taking any kind of medicine, make sure you say that because it can have certain reactions with whatever... The doctor may give you
what he might prescribe you.
What he might prescribe you, yes. Mm-hmm. To prescribe, a prescription is another common word.
So we said, you said a rash, like what other kind of skin things might you get?
Hives.
Hives, that's usually like caused by a serious allergy, right?
Yeah, I think, hives is, yeah, you're right.
It's like generally... They're like big bumps that you get on your skin, and it might just be an area like... actually, a friend of mine here was telling me the other day that she has some food allergy. So that's like another thing to say if you have an allergy. Maybe it's a food allergy or chemical or something like that. But she had eaten something that she was allergic to without realizing, and she said she got like big hives all over her face. So it's basically like big bubbles. But they go away, you know, after as soon as you're... you're treated for the allergy. Yeah. So that's something else the doctor might ask you. Are you allergic to anything?
Yeah, they definitely will ask you
that. Do you have any allergies? Sorry?
I said they definitely will ask you that.
And like some common allergies, maybe especially while you're traveling, maybe lactose, like if you're lactose intolerant or gluten intolerant or shellfish, I think is a really common one that people end up in the hospital for because... They won't realize that something has shellfish in it.
Peanuts.
Okay. Peanuts.
Peanut allergy. Yeah, that's another. Any like nut allergy?
What about the water in Mexico, or like other countries? What's that called? The curse of who?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that before.
That's the curse of like some. I think Mayan king. But that's like you know when you get diarrhea, when you drink the water. You get the
that can happen here as well, they say.
Yeah?
Yeah, you gotta drink... it's generally better to drink filtered water here in Thailand.
Yeah, I know in Indonesia, you never drink the water there. You'd always... They have a thing called Bali Belly.
Bali Belly. Yeah. I've heard in India as well, they have Delhi Belly.
Delhi Belly, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Bali and Delhi both being cities in Thailand and India, and belly like your stomach, so like it affects your belly, which means you probably have some crazy diarrhea happening.
Yeah, which is what you tell the doctor, diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
But But yeah. You can more colloquially say, like, you got the shits.
Yep.
Diarrhea, the shits, the runs, whatever.
The runs.
You don't need to call in sick. Or do you? Call in sick? What does that mean, Mr.
Call in sick? Yeah. It means you're calling your boss and telling him you're under the weather, so you can't come to work.
Under the weather? What does that mean?
It's kind of like, I think it's kind of a euphemism for saying you're sick, so you don't have to actually say what you have, right? It just means you're not feeling 100%.
Yeah.
It which is another expression, I guess. Not feeling 100%.
Doesn't seem like it's a very serious sickness. If, I'm just feeling a little under the weather. It doesn't mean you're like bedridden. Maybe you just don't feel so good. Doesn't sound so serious, right?
I think it could, though, because you can say, like, I think you're still in the part that your body's recovering, right?
Yeah. You could also, someone who's like more serious might say that they're at death's door.
At death's door. I've never heard that before.
At death's door. You've never heard that before? If you're like, I think I got the flu last year, and it's like I'd only had gotten the flu maybe once before in my life, and so I felt at death's door, like the worst I'd ever felt in my life.
I felt that way when I had dengue. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But you might
dengue. When you first, what are some symptoms of dengue?
Dengue. Oh man, like my bones were aching. My bones were aching. I had a really horrible fever. I was hallucinating. I was having like visions. It was like just, I don't know, like it almost feels like toxic in my consciousness.
I had. You can't really like.
Go ahead.
Well, when you think like that too, it's like your brain is foggy. Uh-huh. Like you can't really think clearly. Makes it really hard to work on anything, or to even focus on something like reading or watching a TV series or something like that.
Yeah, and I had, I don't know what you call these, like just red dots on my body, almost like the
like a rash of sorts. Then, right?
Yeah,
maybe that was little mosquito bites.
But when you first start
a breakout,
getting sick,
maybe?
Yeah, breakout of. I think there's a different term for it, but
an outbreak.
No, but an outbreak's different, right? Like you might have like an outbreak of like Zika or something. Like there's an outbreak in Brazil of
That's
Zika.
What he's talking about, though, right? With dengue.
Oh, I thought he was talking about like a breakout, like on his skin.
Sure, yeah.
Well, here's the symptoms for dengue are sudden high fever, severe headaches, pain behind the eyes, severe joint and muscle pain, fatigue,
pain behind
nausea.
The eyes.
Yeah,
I don't even generally feel behind my eyes.
Oh, really? You've never got like when you get a, sometimes you get a the flu or you get like really a lot of congestion, you'll get like pressure behind your eyes.
Oh wow! Yeah,
it's like what your sinuses. It has to do with your sinuses, which are like behind your eye and your nose.
I think like nausea. This is another word we haven't discussed. Nausea. Right?
Nausea.
It's spelled like nauseous, right? But the S is silent on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what's that?
If you have a nausea, yeah. Or you just like feel like you want to vomit. You don't necessarily vomit, though.
Yeah, I think like, I felt delirious in that. But
delirious.
One thing I was going to say is when you first start to get sick, sometimes people say like you're coming down with something. Right? I'm coming down with the flu. I'm coming down. But people say I'm coming down with something when they don't really know.
Yeah, they're just like feeling crummy.
Mm-hmm. Crummy.
It's like just you're feeling bad. You're under the weather. You're feeling crummy.
Uh-huh.
And also from coming down with something, you can also say to get over. Like I'm getting over a bad cold.
Mm-hmm.
Get over. Come down, get over.
Yeah, you're recovering from it. Which is great, because when you're really sick, like if you are at death's door, when you start getting over it, you feel like you're a new man or a new woman, or you're worth $1 million. Born
again.
Some
people might say like, you're on the mend too.
You're on the mend. You're getting better.
Yeah. What does mend mean?
Mend is to fix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might also have like when you're sick a lot of drowsiness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you just feel like exhausted all the time even though you shouldn't, even though you're sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Or they say like certain medications may cause drowsiness too. So if you get prescribed something, you might want to like read the label and see if it causes drowsiness. Only take it before you're going to go to bed.
And what are the side effects, right?
The side effects, yeah. You might want to ask the doctor what are the side effects of whatever he's prescribing you.
Yes.
Or the pharmacist.
Excellent. So, guys, I think we've really nailed them with a lot of... I was trying to think of a cool doctor term there, but we've really nailed them. It does not sound like a doctor's term. Depends on the doctor, right? We've really filled them up with lots of awesome doctor vocabulary and even ways of approaching certain subjects with a doctor, which I think can be kind of worrisome by itself. You know, a lot of people actually get nervous to go to the doctor because they feel kind of a little, I don't want to waste the time with the doctor, or they feel maybe embarrassed about whatever their problem is, right? So if you also
or
have
they hate waiting rooms.
Well, they hate waiting rooms. So if that is you and you don't want to add a language barrier on top of that, you know, I think it's good to make sure you're always getting your yearly checkup. Maybe how often would you guys go to the doctor just to get a checkup?
Ooh, I haven't been to the doctor in like 10 years probably.
And okay. I never do that.
Okay. Well, neither do I. But I think in theory it is a good practice.
They say you should go once a year, right?
Yeah,
I think once a year.
I was gonna say
maybe get your blood pressure checked or get them to just kind of like get the stethoscope on your heart, make sure it's still there and still beating.
Yeah, I think a lot of places too. I don't know if in the United States they do this, but I recall, I believe in Spain they had like free. You could get free blood tests ran, so that like if you, it's basically to prevent sexually transmitted diseases.
STDs.
We call STDs in English, and HIV. So it's and pregnancy. So it's a good idea, even if there's any program like that, to get some blood tests ran.
We'll do a podcast on that later. Yeah. So,
Ethan said to run a blood test. We often say to run tests, and it's generally when you're doing some kind of an experiment. You know, to run an experiment, to run a test. Seems like to run out of the building. So yeah, definitely stay healthy, stay fresh.
And just so you guys know, we're not professionals. So the disclaimer, like
we're not doctors. We don't play doctors on the internet.
Exactly. So
that's true.
If you're sick, don't consult us. We can watch ER. Actually,
yeah. Just Google it.
If you're in a tight situation and you need some medical vocabulary, maybe we can help you out.
Yeah. And if you guys are, this podcast, by the way, is podcast number 137. So if you're just listening and you want to see the video or vice versa, if you want to see the show notes of this podcast too, we're actually written out all of the cool vocabulary so you can even just skim through the vocabulary and really help you memorize all these cool new expressions that we've taught you today. Just go to the Real Life Global blog. It's reallifeglobal.com. And at the top, you can see podcasts. Just click on that nav bar and find number 137.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, for those of you... did you guys want to send any final words to the listeners before we finish off the podcast?
Stay healthy, guys. But... just in case, like I said before, just watch ER. If you watch enough ER, you're gonna internalize this vocabulary. You're gonna be ready.
What's ER?
It's a TV show. It's a hospital TV show. There's another really good one that's it's a comedy. It's called Scrubs. Actually,
Grey's Anatomy is another one that's pretty popular. There's like a lot of medical shows. If you're interested in this kind of vocabulary, just watch a medical show and you'll have it. Down pat.
Okay, yeah. Alright. Excellent. So that's it, guys. Hope you really enjoyed this episode of Real Life Radio. Like always, you can contact us. You can contact me personally, chad@reallifeglobal.com.
justin@reallifeglobal.com.
Or even...
ethan@reallifeglobal.com.
All right. So for those of you that are actually listening to the podcast on like iTunes or the actual podcast and not watching the YouTube video, you're going to hear this because the YouTube video, we can't actually put another track into there. But we're going to play you out with a very relevant song, and it's by a pretty cool band called Kiss, and the song is called Calling Dr. Love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know the song? Do you guys know the song?
No, I don't, but it sounds pretty cool.
Okay, it is cool. It is cool. Very cool. Alright, guys, well, thanks for joining us here today, and like always, you'll hear from us next week on Real Life Radio. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.